Hi everyone, I'm Kurt Bruner, your host. Welcome to the podcast. On this edition, we're going to hear a portion of an interview that was done on Family Life Radio recently on my wife's book, The Minivan Years. They talked to her about how mothers can instill a sense of joy, a sense of meaning, and a sense of fun into the fabric of their families, as well as just how important their role is. You know, moms don't get enough celebration. We do a once a year Mother's Day and forget about it, but it's such an important job, and they had fun just celebrating the hectic joys of motherhood in the minivan years. So here is a portion of that interview as it aired on the radio, and I hope you enjoy it.
When I was a young mom, I was constantly looking at parents with older children, and I would just look and find those families and see, what is it about them that makes their family enjoyable? What is it about them that makes their kids enjoy their parents? They all decided, we are going to enjoy these years. We're going to get up. We're going to have fun with our children. We're going to enjoy the day. If there's something that happens, we're going to get past it and have fun the next day. We're not going to take ourselves too seriously. And they all still, to this day, those families enjoy each other's company as adults.
This is Family Life Today for Monday, May 4th. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. If you stop to consider just how important it is for your family to have fun together, and has it been a while since you've had fun together as a family? We'll talk about that today. Stay tuned.
Olivia Bruner joins us on Family Life Today. Olivia, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Olivia and Kurt have joined us many times on Family Life Today. They have four children. Olivia is a former school teacher. She's a speaker, an author. She, along with Kurt, wrote
the book PlayStation Nation, right?
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Olivia, you've written a new book called The Minivan Years, and all of us smile when we start thinking of the time when we had to trade our, you know, our four-door snazzy car that was kind of sleek and maybe was a little fast, maybe not real fast.
I had a Pontiac Fiero. Do you remember those?
Ooh.
Two-seater.
That was a two-door.
It was a two-door, two-seater. It was, well, there were kids, but they just didn't get in the Fiero. But there comes a time when you trade, say goodbye to those things.
And you trade up or trade down, depending upon how you look at
down.
It, to a minivan. But, you know, moms today are sometimes, well, some of them are trading. They're trading up or trading down depending upon their view of being a mom.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming from our culture. Motherhood is uncool, just like a minivan is. And it's interesting. Motherhood has a branding problem that, you know, we feel like we're trying to get out of our mothering years and get out of that because that's the uncool stage. And when we decided to write the book, there was a study that came out in 2007 where it showed that minivans are on the decline in sales. And so the marketing people got together and they're trying to figure out, why aren't they selling? They're having to make less of them. Ford doesn't even make a minivan anymore because they weren't selling. And so what the study said was, frankly, sliding doors are what give minivans open access, but that's what makes them uncool. The sliding door epitomizes the less exciting realities of minivan ownership compared to the proactive, vibrant images of go-anywhere SUVs or crossovers. And this statement really got me. Ultimately, it's a symbol of being stuck in the rut of having a family. I thought that was sad. Minivans aren't selling because no one wants to look like they're stuck in the rut of having a family. And I thought once you had a family, you get to have them the rest of your life. I'd like to drive a minivan when I'm a grandparent because as long as it's still with my grandkids, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And so the reason they're not selling is people want to get out of the mothering stages. Mothers are thinking, okay, I'll do the mothering stage for 4 or 5 years, and then I'd like to be done.
Do they want to be out of it just because it's as exhausting as it is?
I think so, but I think it's because our culture says that's not a great stage to be in. That's right. Not any fun. You have to work. It's all about the kids. It should be about you. And so it creates a mother has then this feeling of, okay, which one do I follow? This instinct that God has given me where it really is about mothering. It's about mothering the rest of my life. Mothering is the core issue of who we are once we become a mother. And so it's really about that. And the other all fits into it. Whether you're a working mom or a stay-at-home mom, your number one job is your children.
Has to be.
Has to be.
If God's given you children, He didn't give those children to a daycare center.
Exactly.
He gave them to parents who need to raise them. It doesn't mean we don't need to have babysitters from time to time and help take care of them. But what about you? Are there those moments when you've thought about turning in your motherhood
turning
badge?
Turning my minivan.
And your minivan?
No, because I think it's a choice. I think as moms, we have to get up every morning and choose to have joy, choose to infuse joy into our children and into our home. You know, that old saying, if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy. Well, that is true. We are the life givers of our home. And so, you know, yeah, there's moments that I feel like this is so much work. I'm always having to give to someone else. And what about me? But I decided I don't want to look back and say, wow, where did the time go? I want to enjoy even the hectic moments. The mothering years are hectic because they're often unplanned. They just come. But they're joyful because every single memory is precious, and you don't want to lose any of them. And actually, the way our book came out was I have 4 memory books for my kids where I just write down at the end of the night before I go to bed, I'll pick one up, and if something sweet happened that day or hectic or hard, maybe some conflict between me and one of my kids, I write down the memory so that I'll remember it later. Because I didn't want to look back and only remember the antibiotic spills and the throwing up all over me. I wanted to remember, you know, all the joys of motherhood.
If you could just keep one memory of being a mom?
Yes, if I could just keep one memory.
One memory. What memory would you keep and why?
Okay, I am going to tell you a funny one. It's not a serious one. There's a lot of serious memories. So instead, I'm going to go to the funny one. That really was the bottom line of why I wanted to write this book. We were in the car, and Kurt, my husband, just likes to have fun, so he'll make up a game. So we made up this game where he'd ask the kids, okay, who's the funniest, who's the cutest, and who's the prettiest? And one day, Kurt said, who's the smartest? And the great part was, Sean, our 8-year-old at the time, immediately said, Mom is. And I was like, yeah, all right. I mean, yeah. Good for you. And I mean, immediately. And I turned to look at Kurt, and he looked hurt. He was like, oh, my word. Why so quickly? So he turned back to Sean and said, Sean, you know, I think Mom's smart. That's one of the reasons I married her. You know, I love the fact that she went to school and she's a teacher. But why did you say she was the smartest so fast? And he sat right up and said, because she always knows when I have to go to the bathroom. And I thought, you know what? What he's saying to me is, it doesn't really matter where Dad went to school. I don't really care that Dad works at Focus on the Family. I don't care that he wrote a book. I don't care about Mom's degree. What I care is that you know about my needs.
You've sat with enough young moms, though, who are up to their elbows in diapers and who are exhausted from all of this. And they look at you and they just say, I was not made for this. Mm-hmm. This isn't me. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I got myself into. I want out. And you say, well, you know, suck it up and get tough. Is that what you tell them?
That's one of the things I tell them. It's just like I used to have women ask me if I don't really feel like I want to hug my husband when he walks in the door. You know, I don't know, I feel like I'm in life. I don't care. You walk over there, you hug him anyway. You know, there's part of doing it which begins to make you feel it. So if you don't feel like doing it and you get up in the morning and you get on your knees and you ask God to help you do it and give you joy in it, in the doing it, you will receive joy. And so sometimes it is just all about that. I do really recommend when you have a lot of little children, a lot of times you think, well, you know, I am so exhausted, I'm just going to get up when the first one comes and wakes me up or the baby cries or whatever. And as soon as you feel like you're getting a good night's sleep, I recommend to young moms that they get up a half an hour before their child. Just set your alarm, pull yourself out of bed so you can get on your knees just for a few minutes and say, Lord, help me with this day. Have a cup of tea, relax, read. Don't feel like you have to have this big old Bible study, but read a few Psalms to encourage you, to get you going for the day. But really, if it's not natural for you, then getting on your knees and asking the Lord to help it be natural. And again, you will get it by giving it.
And honestly, Olivia, in raising children today, to do that, it is going to demand enormous self-sacrifice.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I think that's what doesn't play well in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be easy.
Yes.
We want it to look like a 30-minute show on TV.
Mm-hmm. I had a mentor mom who used to say to me, when are you going to cry, Olivia? When I would be so tired, be midnight, I'm still doing laundry and, you know, getting things ready for the next day. She said, you can cry now because you're exhausted, or you can cry when you're 60 because you're looking back and wishing that you would have enjoyed your days and done exactly what you're doing now.
You know, Olivia, as you were going through that list of all the things moms do, I just remember looking back as a young father with a bed surrounded by children.
Mm-hmm.
It was 6:30
right.
Or earlier in the morning, and Barbara didn't want to get up. I didn't want to get up. This is all about discipline.
It is. It's all about laying down your life and making a choice when you see those little eyes. Are you going to love on them and welcome the day that God has given you, or are you going to resent the fact that you have these children here in front of you? Really, If you have a job that's outside of the home and you get up in the morning and you think, okay, it's time to go to work, you get your shower, you get your time together, and then you go and you get your paycheck. With kids, really, parenting is the only real full-time job. You know, you say, I have a full-time job outside of the home. No, actually, the only full-time job is parenting, because it literally is 24/7.
It is.
And so you wake up in the morning and you make that choice to say, hey, I feel joyful because of this gift that God has given me.
So do you get Kirk to write you a paycheck every couple of weeks? Just to...
Yes. I tell him all the money's mine anyway. I'm going to spend it all.
You know, you write about this being a secret formula.
I do.
Share that formula with them.
Well, when I was a young mom, I was constantly looking at families that were not perfect. I couldn't find any of those. But families that seemed to enjoy each other's company, their kids were older families, parents with older children. And I would just look and find those families and see, what is it about them that makes their family enjoyable? What is it about them that makes their kids enjoy their parents and actually not resent them and rebel and not want to be around them? So I did some interviewing, and I sat down with five or six families that I really respected, and I just asked a lot of questions. And they all had different methods of doing things. They all had different methods of spending time with their children or teaching their faith. Some worked outside of the home. Some worked in the home. It was not the same everywhere. But there was one secret formula. It was a thread that went through all the families, and that was fun and laughter. That they all decided, we are going to enjoy these years. We're going to get up. We're going to have fun with our children. We're going to enjoy the day. Where if there's something that happens, we're going to get past it and have fun the next day. We're not going to take ourselves too seriously. And they all still, to this day, those families enjoy each other's company as adults. Again, it's not over. It's not like the mom is done being a mom. She's still a mom. Now she's a grandma and a mom. And so it lasts throughout your life.
You mentioned these women you talked to, and you talked about having a mentor mom.
Mm-hmm.
How important has that been for you as you've been a mom?
It's been huge. It's been an encouragement. It's been a challenge and accountability. But, you know, I had to go looking for that. I had to make myself accountable to someone and say, hey, would you help me out in this area and maybe be a bit vulnerable to them? And it was a mom who, again, had the same attitude of, you know, we're not going to do this. I'm going to get through the day as a mother. We're going to enjoy your day as a mother and be the very best mom you can be.
How did you pick out the woman you wanted to be your mentor mom?
You know, God just kind of brought it. It was someone I had prayed for, and the Lord just kind of brought someone along that I got along with, and she got along with me, and we began to spend time together. It wasn't a forced thing at all. It just happened.
Somebody who's listening who lives out in the country and there are no moms around, maybe they've seen a mom at church or somebody and they think, well, she seems like she's got it together. Do you just go up and say, can we have lunch and can I talk to you?
Certainly that would work. That's a good start. That's a good start. And you never know who is going to be someone that will be willing to do that. But if you don't step out and try, you're not going to know.
And if you don't know a woman like that, ask your pastor of your church
idea.
And say, who would you recommend would be a mom who's a lap or two ahead of me in the mm-hmm. race of life, who could come alongside me? Because I think, Olivia, what you've done is one of the smartest things a young mom can do in starting out her family, is to connect with someone who's been there, mm-hmm. done that, and mm-hmm. can encourage you and continue to build into your life. The last chapter in your book mm-hmm. is about a loss mm-hmm. that you and Kurt endured. And I think many times when we come to the subject of motherhood, mm-hmm. We think about all the fun and games that are associated. Obviously, there are those times of illness and the tough times and the loss of sleep, et cetera. But there are times when our heart feels like it's breaking in half and then mm-hmm. going to break in half again. Mm-hmm. And it's when we lose a child.
Mm-hmm.
You and Kurt lost a boy named Todd.
Yes, we did. I was about 20 weeks pregnant and started having some issues where I was spotting. And so Kurt and I went to have the ultrasound. And, you know, it's that feeling of dread when the ultrasound tech is not looking at you. She won't say anything to you and really never answered our questions. We knew. We didn't see a heartbeat, but she didn't say anything to us and said, okay, we're done, and now you need to go see your doctor. And when we went to see the doctor, the first thing she said is, I'm sorry for the loss of your baby. So we realized our baby had died, and he was 5 months along. And so when you're that far along, the doctor explained to us that we would need to deliver this little baby. And so we went into the hospital and delivered a little boy and named him Todd and had a little service for him. But, you know, in my mothering time, we had two older boys at the time, and I'll never forget them coming into the hospital. They were sad. This was their brother. And as a mom, having my own deep sadness at that point, but realizing as a mom, this is something we can do together. I can do this with my children. We can grieve together and include them in on the process because they needed to grieve with me. It was a very, very sad time in our life. But again, every point of mothering can help us to point our children to God. And so I took that time, and our oldest son, actually, that was a time where he had never thought about death before. And he kept coming afterwards. He would come in our room at night every night, and he wanted to talk about God and what is death. And soon after that is when he trusted Christ. Because it just got him thinking anyone can die. A baby can die inside mommy. It doesn't have to be an older person. And it just got him on the subject. And so it was something that was redemptive in our home. And we still, we named him Todd, and we talk about him, and we look forward to seeing him in heaven.
You know, what you've talked about today is how motherhood is a calling, how it's a responsibility, and how it's a privilege. And it's a calling to fulfill, a responsibility to embrace, and then a privilege to be enjoyed. And I just appreciate you being willing to not only share about the good times, but as you've just shared, the loss of a son, and how even in that, there's a privilege in giving life to a little boy who, even though you didn't get a chance to enjoy him, you did enter into something that God intended for your family, that ultimately resulted in one of your children coming to faith in Christ. And that's really what motherhood's all about, is the full gamut of emotions, but it's faithfully fulfilling what God's called you to do, being responsible, and then just enjoying them, you know, just picking them up and gathering them into your lap and hugging and kissing them, even in the midst of the toughness of life. And thank God for the privilege of partnering with him to raise the next generation.
And if what you're doing is hard and you're tired and you don't like it some days, just remember the words of Olivia and suck it up, right?
Amen. And don't listen to the culture who tells you you're not doing anything important, because you are doing the most important job that you could ever do. And it is the one that when you're 50 and looking back and 60 and looking back, that you will think that meant something.